The tide has turned.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Hey, from American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. You know Procter & Gamble for its toothpaste and deodorant and shampoo and diapers and a thousand other household products. You might not know P&G for their prescription drugs, but that's okay. They're not in that business anymore. This morning, the Irish drug company Warner Chilcott announced it's buying Procter & Gamble's prescription drug unit for more than $3 billion. So, what does this say about the drug business and the toothpaste business? Marshall Cohen is chief retail analyst at NPD Group. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're always hearing that healthcare is the future, baby boomers aging, et cetera. Why is P&G selling its drug business?
One of the things we have to recognize is that the pharmaceutical business tends to be very competitive, very regulated, and now becoming very much a challenge in being able to work under the same structure.
Did Procter & Gamble make a big mistake when it got into that business?
Not necessarily. I think that, you know, there was a time for, you know, all different businesses. What we have to recognize is that the pharmaceutical business has changed dramatically in the last decade with advertising and tremendous changes in the generic drug business. So what really has made P&G what it is being a business that markets direct to consumer and resonates with them in their everyday needs. I think it only enhanced their business for a period of time, but now the landscape has changed and it's time for them to shed it.
Marshall Cohen, Chief Retail Analyst at NPD Group. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Now, for another perspective on this sale, Les Funtleiter, healthcare strategist at Miller Tabak. Good morning.
Good morning.
What does this deal say, if anything, about the future of the drug industry?
I'd say you're going to require bigger companies to be successful in a multi-line drug unit. It's hard to develop new drugs, and without significant investment, you simply can't do it.
You watch this stuff for a living, Les. What do you find most fascinating about this deal?
The thing that struck me most is that they were able to get a deal done. The markets have been very difficult over the last year or so, and the fact that any deal was able to get done would really suggest to me at least that things are getting better.
Healthcare strategist Les Funtleiter at Miller Tabak, author of the book Healthcare Investing. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And the world stock rally rolls on. S&P 500 up 0.7%. The NASDAQ is up almost 0.5%. And the Dow is up 0.6%. That's 57 points at 9,563. European markets gained 1% today, and Asian markets were up even more robustly. Not such good news today for millions of senior citizens who will have to make do with no cost of living increase in next year's Social Security payments. From Washington, Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
Since 1975, people getting Social Security checks have counted on a cost of living increase, aka a COLA. Those increases happen automatically, and they're pegged to keep pace with inflation. Last year, the COLA gave seniors an almost 6% boost in their monthly checks. But next year will be different. Barbara Canelli runs the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare.
This is the first time in 35 years since the law was passed that there is no COLA.
There may have been deflation this year, but that doesn't allow the Social Security Administration to actually cut benefits. Still, Canelli says freezing benefits where they are will take a toll.
What you have to remember is 3 out of 4 seniors live on less than $20,000 a year, and so it's a big deal to them.
Drug and health care expenses are still rising, even in this down economy. Canelli says that will leave millions of seniors with less cash to make ends meet. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com.
We've told you on this show, many consumers are not consuming. Some of them are unemployed. Some of them are in debt. So why are some of them at a Maserati dealership? From WUWM in Milwaukee, Aaron Toner reports.
Last year, a British insurance company called Hiscox did a study to find the sexiest sounding car. Men and women listened to luxury car engines. Then they had their testosterone levels tested. The more testosterone, the more arousal. This car was the winner, the Maserati Gran Turismo S, a car with all the finest things, like a suede-covered steering wheel and hand-stitched Italian leather. It has long, sleek lines and a hood that curves up on the sides and then dips down to form a wide nose. It's on the lot at International Maserati in Waukesha, Wisconsin, part of a luxury car group. Jason Green's sold two so far.
So how much does this car go for?
It's not much if you say it fast, $145,000.
But there is a market for these cars, even now, and even in Wisconsin. This Maserati showroom, the only one in the state, is near wealthy suburbs outside Milwaukee. So if the cars are going to sell in Wisconsin, they're probably going to sell here. Jason Green's sold two so far.
You know, people aren't retiring like they were. They're working harder and longer, and there's a lot of stress. And I think that a brand like this and what this represents is not some kind of, you know, ostentatious whim, as much as just enjoying the moments that you're behind the wheel of a car.
And it's not just Maseratis going out the door. This dealer sold 27 Porsches in April, May, and June, and other luxury models had record-setting months in the spring. Mark Sweeney is looking around the lot this morning. He's an engineer from Wausau, Wisconsin.
I think the Gran Turismo is hopefully my next car.
Right now, Sweeney drives a 99 Porsche 911, but today he has eyes for a jet black Maserati.
It's just sexy. It's the sound, the shapes, the exclusivity. Not much like that in Wausau, I'll tell you that.
Or many other places. Maserati sends just a few thousand cars to the U.S. for sale every year. In Milwaukee, I'm Aaron Toner for Marketplace.
And finally, thanks to the hit movie Julie and Julia, Julia Child's Mastering the Art of French Cooking is topping the bestseller list. So, if you want your book to sell, remember, make sure it's half a century old, costs $40, and has 750 pages of tasks that few can master. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Have a good Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.